I was kneeling most of the day yesterday. I wasn't praying, but I probably should have. Yeah, that's why I'm hurting today. Yeah. We're going to be taking a look at Psalm 13 today. Psalm 13. You know, as I read the scriptures in the morning for church, I like to go through the Psalms and read the Psalms, and I kind of want to pick out those that are encouraging and uplifting. And David doesn't always provide those kinds of Psalms for us to read, but reading through Psalm 13, something caught my eye, and Lord said, well, take a look at this. And in the first verse of Psalm 13, it says, how long, O Lord, will thou forget me forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? And my thought immediately went to Paul and his condition that he's been in for months. How long, Lord? How long? And, you know, I know we all feel like if there was something we could do to change the situation, we would do it. Jim's kind of in the same situation. How long? You know, how long? How long is this going to go on? So what I did was I took a look at Psalm 13 and decided that perhaps this is what the Lord would like me to share with you today. In most of the Psalms that we read, David usually is running from somebody or hiding from a cave or fearful about his enemies that are surrounding him. There's some situation that he's describing, that he's speaking about. But in this psalm, we don't have any kind of historical context as to what is happening with David. But he introduces the idea that he's dealing with depression. How long? How long? How long, Lord, are you going to keep me in this predicament? How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? The recurring question that David speaks of is, how long? Time flies when we're having a good time. But when the situations in our lives become difficult and kind of go to a minor key, things have a tendency to slow down. And we keep asking the question, am I ever going to come out of this? Is this ever going to end? How long? How long? This is where David finds himself. How long, Lord? How long? So what's David facing? Well, he's feeling like he's been forgotten. He's feeling forsaken. He's feeling left out. And most of us can identify with those feelings because there's been a time in our life when we've felt alone or left out of something. Perhaps it was moving to a new school and going to school for the first day and sitting at our desks in the classroom and wondering if I'm ever going to make a friend. Is anybody going to ever say hi to me? You know, I'm scared and I'm alone. And going home that night and saying to your parents, I'm never went back to that school again because I don't want to go through that experience. Or maybe you're the last one chosen on the team. That was my experience in college. I played soccer, and I was one of the shortest guys on the team. And there were Australians, and there were Nigerians, and all these guys were big, you know. So when it came time to pass out the jerseys for the guys who were going to play the next day, and the coach, you know, throwing the jerseys out to the guys, I'm sitting there with no jersey. Okay, I went to all the practices. I ran the whole time. I did everything they wanted me to do, and I didn't get a jersey. Yeah, poor me. Yeah. I felt left out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to sit on the sidelines and polish the soccer balls and run for the water for the guys. Or it may be invitations to the party went out and you were not invited. All your friends got to go, but you didn't get to go because you didn't get an invitation. Or maybe you weren't included on the chat room internet group that it was going on. They didn't include you in their conversation. Ladies. Anyway, sometimes we feel left out. And it's not... It's not something you may be feeling today as we come here, but I'm sure if you reflect back on your life over the last 3 months or 6 months or year, you've experienced that feeling of being left out, forgotten, forsaken. Okay, this was kind of what David was going through, although it's a little bit different. It's one thing to feel like you were left out of our human relationships. But in this situation, this is something totally different and very significant because David feels like God has forgotten him, forsaken him. And he's feeling really bad. What becomes apparent, or what becomes apparent in this experience, is the sadness of depression. And what we discover is that his perceptions are not necessarily accurate. Okay, this is the way he's feeling, okay? Oh Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? Now this is the way he was feeling. But his perceptions of what was going on were not accurate. What he feels to be the case is not the case, but it doesn't alter the fact that he feels this way. He is feeling forsaken and forgotten. He should know what we know. Okay, turn to Isaiah 49. starting with verse 14. Now, this was the experience of Israel, God's chosen people, okay, as they journeyed through history. There were times in their experience, the wilderness, captivity, the Babylonian captivity, there were times in their experience when they definitely felt like if God didn't forget them, this would not be happening to them. And they used the exact same words that David uses in Psalms. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me." Now, this is God's response to that feeling, to the way that they were feeling. They were feeling so bad. In the Old Testament, it says they hung their harps on trees because they were not able to. They didn't feel like they could praise the Lord in the situation they were in. That's how bad they felt. This is God's response to them in that situation. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. That's possible. But I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Your walls, or defense, are continually before me. That's God's response to this feeling of being forgotten by him. Okay? He has literally written your name on his hands. And the word in here is engraved. It's not done with Sharpie or erasable marker or anything that's going to come off. Engraved on his hands. You're this far, the furthest you can be from his remembrance of you is this far. And even I can read stuff that far away. Your name, think about it. Your name is written on his hand. So when we think we have been forgotten or forsaken, think about that. David didn't. David wasn't thinking about this. He was down in the dumps, a serious depression. He still feels abandoned. That was David's experience. God cares for his children just like the sun shines. It always shines. It's always there. Even when the clouds roll over us and we can't see the sun, it is still there. All we need to do is get above the clouds. And that's what David was struggling with. How do I trust God in these circumstances? Still, he feels abandoned and depressed. And the second phrase in here is, he felt sorrow in his heart all day. It was an ongoing issue in his mind all day. Hannah in 1 Samuel was experiencing the same thing, and only it says year after year after year. What's going on here? David is thinking. How do I make sense of all of this? My God has forsaken me, forgotten me. It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle in his mind, all the pieces floating around, but David doesn't have all of the pieces. So he can't put the puzzle together and come up with a clear view of what God is really trying to accomplish here. The final picture he is unable to see. David keeps on chewing on the difficulty that he is going through. And the longer he chews, the worse things get. The longer he chews, the greater the risk of self-pity. Poor me. Look at me. I used to play that card all the time. Hopefully the Lord's worked in my life enough so that I don't go back to that as often as I used to. Poor me. Feeling sorry for himself. Other situations come into play. There's fearfulness starts to seep in. Bitterness. Deep depression. And Satan would love to take us down that road as long as we would go. Because as long as we're there, we are not looking above the clouds. We are not seeing the sunshine. So what's he doing? He's chewing on this stuff, on this negative stuff he's experiencing. And then Scriptures say, back in Psalms 13, how long will my enemies be exalted over me? The sound of his enemies' voices overcome, go beyond what God is trying to say to him. He can't hear what God is trying to say to him because he's concentrating on what his enemy is telling him. The laughter, the taunting. When we feel like this, and sometimes we do, we get into a situation where we begin to doubt whether God is God and able to help me out of this situation. Will it end? Will it ever end? How long? How long? When we find ourselves like this, or any other situation where we are estranged from our Heavenly Father, it is very easy for us to get things wrong. It is very easy for us to get things wrong. Our relationship with God suffers, and our relationship with each other suffers. We're not thinking clearly. We're thinking the way the world thinks. There was a young pastor who was looking kind of depressed. One of the older men in the church decided, well, I'm going to take him golfing, okay? Maybe it'll make him feel better. They play a hole, the young pastor loses, and he says to the older gentleman, your hole? Well, they go through 12, 13 holes, and every hole, the pastor loses, or the pastor or the young man. I have a hard time discerning which one it was now. Oh my gosh. One of those brain things. Ah, the young pastor. No, the young man. The pastor was saying, over the course of losing those different holes, every time he would say, "Your hole, your hole, your hole, your hole," and the young man said, "No, it's the other way around." The young man was losing. The young pastor was losing. Okay, got it straight. The young pastor was losing, and the older gentleman would say, "Oh, I hope I get this right. I should probably just forget this one." Anyway, it turns out that the young man says to the pastor, who is having a hard time, says, "You know, that's okay." He says, "Someday you're going to end up doing my funeral," trying to make him feel better. And the pastor says, "But it's still going to be your hole." Oh, finally. Okay. Moving on. Many of the servants of God all through Scripture, and even contemporary servants of God, have felt the same way that David is feeling here. You take a look at Jonah. You know, where is your God, Jonah? Where is your God? Take a look at Elijah. Elijah went up against 450 priests of Baal. It was just him and God delivered. It was a fantastic victory for God and for Elijah. What happens in the next chapter? The very next chapter. We find Elijah underneath a broom tree. "Oh, poor me. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to listen to me. I'm all by myself. I'm all alone." No, Elijah, that is not the case. Hannah in 1 Samuel, her husband looks at her and says, "What is the matter with you, Hannah? Your countenance is down, you're looking at the ground, your face is sad, you're not eating. What is going on?" And this for Hannah went on for year after year after year. There is a solution in 1 Samuel, though. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You can read it. But so it's not an uncommon situation to find ourselves in. Now, if we take a look at verses 3 and 4, what is David doing? He is praying to God, unloading, crying out to God. "Consider, consider, look at me, consider, and answer me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, 'I have overcome him.' lest my adversaries rejoice when I am shaken. Consider me. Consider the situation that I find myself in. He is praying. The storm that he is going through, the tidal wave that has overcome him, has caused him to pray. And he's unloading. He's unloading the way he feels. And I think he's learned this from experience, because he does say, when I was silent, when I didn't speak to God, my bones wasted away. He's had that experience before. Enlighten my eyes. Turn the lights on. David's reaction to his feeling this way is to ask God to turn the lights on. But God doesn't always turn the lights on. And that was the problem that David was having. How long? How long? This is the real test. You know, we think when we're going through difficult times that it would be wonderful if the Lord would just miraculously remove the problem. And we would rejoice and shout and give praise to God, and the world would see what a wonderful God he really is. But I tell you that what would really impress the world is when the experiences of our deep depression, our frustration, our feeling of being forsaken don't seem to change. No overtime. It doesn't seem to alter in any way as we progress through life. That we are able still in that situation to discover God is teaching us now to trust him with the lights off. We've, in our experience with kids in foster care, one of the things that was probably consistent throughout was they would not sleep without a light. Because of the experiences that, that they went through in life, there was a deep fear of being in a room with the lights off at night. So when they went to bed, they would ask, well, are you going to leave the light on? Will you leave the light on? Okay, I'll leave the light on. And after a little while, they'd ask every night, but they said, will you leave the light on? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll leave the light on in the bathroom. Okay. And then they ask, will you leave the light on in the bathroom? I'm going to close the door a little bit. And we kind of work our way to the point where they were feeling safe, where they were feeling secure, where there was no fear of the dark. It took time, as it is taking time with David. God is trying to teach David to trust him with the lights off. And God says, in the middle of all of this, I've been coming into your life to teach you how to live, not with the lights on, but with the lights off. When darkness veils your lovely face, I rest on your unchanging grace. Not on the lights, but on the Father of lights, the God of all grace. So what's the bridge here for David that gets us into verses 5 and 6? Again, it's his prayer in verses 3 and 4. Prayer, because that's what he's doing in 3 and 4. And the results are fantastic. The thing is, when we read verses 5 and 6, the psalmist gives us absolutely no indication that anything has changed in his situation. Nothing has changed except his perception of what is real and what is true and who his God is. David acknowledges that God is God, whether the lights are on or whether the lights are off. God is a sovereign God. He is sovereign when he chooses to give, and he is sovereign when he chooses not to give. When that is resolved in David's life, when that issue is resolved in our life, when we're going through difficult times, there's a change in our perspective. There's a change in our attitude. There's a change in our heart. We need to bring our emotions under the control of God's hand, the hand that your name's written on. The feeling of his heart, of David's heart, were real, very real. And they almost brought him to the... He was so depressed and so despondent that it says he almost felt like dying. He's now applying his mind to the matter. And what does it say in Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. David was looking at the situation as it really was, not as he perceived it. And David is now saying, when I look at my near total collapse, I remind myself of what Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. You give me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for mourning. When we find ourselves in this situation, just like David, we need to consider his steadfast love, whose hands we are in, his sovereignty, and the salvation that he has provided for us. He became ransom for our sins. We are forgiven. He has delivered us from the power of sin as we walk this life, and he has promised that we will one day live in a place where there is no sin. We won't have to deal with this anymore. So what we need to chew on is not the feeling that we've been forgotten or nobody cares, but we need to chew on what God has given to us in our walk on, in our relationship with him. Chew on this. You give me beauty for ashes, oil for joy for mourning, a garment of praise for mourning. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us the ability through the gift of your Son to share in a relationship with our Creator God. Father, you are always there for us. Regardless how we perceive the situations and circumstances of our lives, thinking we have been forgotten, doubting whether you care, Father, you are always there. We pray that as we go through this life and face the difficulties, that you will help us to remember who you are, that you are sovereign, Father, and that sometimes you turn the lights on and sometimes you don't, but you don't change. You are always there with outstretched hand that our names are written on, to help us through those difficult times. We praise you. We thank you for your involvement in our lives. And Father, we would find ourselves in these situations giving you the glory and the honor and the praise for pulling us through. Thank you for the way that you do transform our minds, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, the power of your Holy Spirit to overcome sin. Father, help us to remember that you are always there. Even when we don't think you're working, even when we don't feel you're working, you are always there. We give you our thanks for your word, which teaches us. We give you our thanks for the relationship that we share with you. And we do that in your Son's name. Amen.